to the Screen of Sisters podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Screen Sisters. This time it's me, Misty Pendragon, going solo tonight, and I have a special guest, PJ Souls, and she has done a lot of really cool movies, such as the original Halloween, and Carrie, and probably my favorite rock and roll musical ever, Rock and Roll High School, and so many other movies like The Devil's Rejects, and I'll just let her talk.
And well, don't forget Stripes.
And Stripes, oh my god, the amazing Bill Murray she worked with, that is so cool. We'll start off with a fun question, but just say hi, PJ, and just, introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody, this is PJ Souls, and I am in beautiful California, Los Angeles, where it's still sunny, and looking forward to talking tonight, and maybe you'll totally learn something that you didn't know.
Okay, yeah, I've got some good questions. We did a lot of research, so we should be able to get some good things here. So, first question I have for you is a fun one. And what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, gosh. I'm not particularly a horror fan. I know this is going to upset people, but I love Halloween, and I love Devil's Rejects. I did not care for House of a Thousand Corpses. That was too scary and gory for me. But actually, one of my favorite movies is, I think it's called Funny Games, and it's with Michael Pitt and Naomi Watts, and it's just a terrifying psychological drama, and it actually was written and directed by a director who had filmed it, I think, 20 or 30 years previously, and then redid it with this new cast. And it's pretty interesting. Cool. Funny Games, it's called, and it just is so scary.
Awesome. All right, well, I'll check it out. All right, just basic questions. What were some of your influences when you first started acting, and some of them now?
I saw a lot of movies growing up, mostly in my teen years, and I would say a lot because I was are you there?
Yes.
Oh, I was born in Germany, and then my family moved to Morocco, Casablanca, and then moved to Venezuela, where we really only saw movies once a week at the army base with friends. My dad was working for an insurance company. He was from Holland. And then I went to high school in Brussels, International School of Brussels. So movies were kind of a rarity. We would come back every 4 years to New York City for 3 months in the summer to get shots and all kind of medical things done before we went to the next country. And oh my gosh, I had such a delight in turning on the television and the hotel and watching everything I could see. So I have to say the very first person that probably made me think, oh my gosh, this would be so fun, because I did start acting in sixth grade in Venezuela, was probably Shirley Temple. So I loved Shirley Temple. I really loved all the Grace Kelly, all the movie stars from the 50s and the 60s. I love models. I thought Gene Shrimpton and Twiggy were, the bomb. And so I was just kind of inspired by most of the movies and the actresses and actors. I actually was very inspired. I like Steve McQueen. I really liked a lot of the actors, and never really thought it was something I could do. But once I started doing it, I remember thinking, if anything inspired me in life, it was when I would go to the movies, and I'd just be very romantic about it and not think, oh, I can do that, but think, wow, that must be so much fun.
Awesome. Thank you. So how was it working with Rob Zombie?
It was great. He's an interesting guy because he's certainly nothing like his persona when he's performing live. But as a person, he is the sweetest, sort of a very soft-spoken and very intense. playful and a lot of fun. When we shot my scene with Sid Haig on The Devil's Rejects, I had given him a copy of Local H. They have a CD out called Whatever Happened to PJ Souls, and that's one of their songs. And I thought he was going to bring it home, but every time there was a break, which is quite often while you're sitting around waiting for setups for the camera, he would just blast it out on the set. This is the same song over and over again. Whatever happened to PJ Souls? I'm like, thank you. And then at lunch, it was funny, I'm sitting there eating, and all of a sudden he comes from behind me, and he dumps all these posters and photographs and CDs and VHSs all on the table. I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I just want you to have a moment you can sign my stuff. Well, sign your stuff? There's like 50 pieces here. He goes, y'all, I'll give you a little extra for lunch. Thank you. So that was pretty funny, but he's a great guy, and I was just so happy that I got cast in that, because the casting call was for notable 70s actors, and obviously there were a lot of them, or actors and actresses as were in Devil's Rejects, but for that particular part he chose me, and I really like it because I didn't die in The Devil's Rejects.
Yes.
I just got punched out by the glorious Sid Haig.
Oh, that's awesome. I got to meet him. He's really a nice guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Alright, and did you keep in touch with the Ramones after Rockwell High School?
Well, it's not like, you know, in those days we didn't really have cell phones, so it wasn't like, you know, being in touch, but I definitely invited them to, I always say Thanksgiving, but it actually was Christmas dinner because they were still in town because we had a holdover and had to shoot at the beginning of the next year. So I invited them over for Christmas dinner, found out none of them ate turkey and stuffing and yams and things like that, so we actually ended up ordering pizza for them, which was pretty funny. And then, a year later, I think they came to town. I don't remember the timing of it. They either played the Roxy or the Whiskey, and I went on stage and sang Rockwell High School. But in terms of being in touch and seeing them in New York or anything like that, no, definitely not. So.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever. So we had cell phones and we were texting. Now I'm very good friends with Linda Ramone. So it would have happened had the technology been a little different.
Right, that's true. It was so much harder. There was an email.
Yeah, it was harder. And, you know, I mean, your answering machine at home was your connection, but, you know, and it definitely, they had my phone number and I had theirs, but it wasn't, you know, they were busy, I was busy, I was married, you know, it was a different kind of a situation.
Right. Of all the different genres and the movies you've been in, which do you enjoy more?
Well, obviously, horror is so much fun because when you're filming it, it's hilarious. And then when you're doing comedy, it's not funny. It's like horror. So, I would say I like them all because anything that I can do to make a scene seem like it's really happening and make it as realistic as possible, I try to live in the moment when I'm acting and make it real. That's why I really love improv. That's sort of my favorite thing. So I don't think there's a genre particularly, but people always think that, you know, especially kids will ask me, is it scary when you filmed the death scene in Halloween? I'm like, no, he was tickling my neck with a bone cord. I was laughing. The hardest part is to try and not laugh when you're dying. So, and then, of course, when you do a comedy, to try to make something funny after one or two takes, and not so funny.
What was your reaction when you found out that you were ranked number 4 on Maxim's Hottest Women of Horror Movies list?
I do remember that bit ago. I thought, wow, that's pretty funny. I must obviously is, you know, the see anything you like scene, I guess. Although I have had a lot of guys tell me they love Norma and Carrie. And I go, but I was the tomboy at a baseball hat. I don't. Overalls on. I wasn't the sexy one. They go, oh, but you were just so mean and so cute. So, but, I mean, that's amazing. That's an honor. It's awesome. It's cool.
Yeah, that was in the number. That was 2013.
Pretty good to be remembered. Yeah. It's probably Rob Zombie called them up.
Probably. And I know there's an intense part in the death scene in Carrie, you were knocked unconscious by a wild water hose. That was the actual scene. But
by a hose, yes, okay. the firemen said it wouldn't be safe, but then the Dick Zeiger, the head stunt coordinator, said, well, I'll do it, I'll be careful. Because they wanted the fire hose to just bat my head around and to kind of look like it was breaking my neck. So, you know, they put it on full force, first take, okay, good. And then the second time they did it for close-up, it just, the full force of the water went in my ear. And it knocked me, it didn't knock me unconscious, but you lose your equilibrium because when it broke my eardrum. And when you break your eardrum, you just lose all sense of equilibrium. And I just slid down the bleachers.
Oh, wow.
That was the last shot they got of me. So you actually see my face in pain as the fire hose is rupturing my eardrum. And it was really scary. And, you know, the grips ran over and carried me out. I had to go to the hospital. And they checked it out. And I did have a tear in my eardrum. But after 6 months, it healed. I did go to an ear doctor and got some of the shots they give you, and I was fine after that, but it was pretty scary and very, very painful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. So I don't recommend that.
No.
Don't follow the fire hose.
Did having this happen make you nervous when you had to film other scenes similar to that in the future?
No, I think I'm probably always a little cautious. I just didn't even think about that because Dick Zeiger, and I trusted him, and I thought, oh, it's water. You don't realize how strong a fire hose is, I guess. And so, but, you know, I'm not really one for doing stunts. Not that, you know, I've had parts that call for that. I mean, Stripes, I definitely handled an Uzi, and I was running around, and, you know, we had some physical, you know, altercations and stunts like that. Sid Haig, he punches me out, but, you know, for the most part, you know, even that, I turned the wrong way the first time that Sid punched me right into his fist, but it didn't hurt that badly. I was like, okay, stunt girl. And they actually had one for the fall onto the ground, so that was good.
Okay. And I did see you were initially modeling. What changed your mind to go into acting?
Well, actually, I was acting first. I was going to Barnacles College in New York City, and my roommate lived in New York City. So the summer when between my freshman and sophomore year, even though I was transferring to Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., to the foreign language school, my parents were living in Istanbul, Turkey. They had moved there, and I spent the summer 3 months in the city with Lorraine, and to do something, I walked by the Actors Studio, and there was an ad saying run Spotlight in exchange for auditing classes, so I got that part of running Spotlight, and it was John Miles and Scott Glenn and the Seagull, and it was nighttime performances, and when I came down one night, this guy turned out to be Joshua Wright, who did the Joshua Wright show at the Fillmore East. He said, you probably shouldn't wear dresses when you walk the catwalk running the spot. And I went, why? And he goes, well, just look up. So I looked up and realized, okay, probably shouldn't wear a short little dress, even though it was summer and it was hot. Anyway, he asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, I'm just checking out, like, to see if, you know, I might be interested in this. And he goes, well, my sister's an actress, and she has an agent. I can bring you over and introduce you. And he did, Lester Lewis Agency, and Juliet, Lester and Juliet. And they took me on, and in the first week, I got 3 commercials. So I actually started acting before modeling. I was acting for probably about 6 months, and every commercial I went up on, I got. It was just ridiculous. And here I was, you know, I was a Russian language major in college with a minor in French literature. And here I was just, you know, killing it in New York at the age of 19 and not really wanting to go back to college. And then to just, you know, everyone kept saying, well, you should get pictures made, you know, you should, you know, try modeling for extra, you know, money and whatever. So acting first in commercials and then modeling. And from there, I built up, you know, a substantial book, and some of the photographers turned out to be, you know, directors and filmmakers at heart, and so I did a couple of short films, and then came the time where, well, are you going to do Broadway, off-Broadway, or, you know, if you really want to get into movies, you've got to move to L.A., and then I moved to L.A. after living there for 5 years, so.
Okay. All right, and so I did see that you got an opportunity to play with Randall again in a music video.
Oh, the guys? Yes. Oh, yeah, well, I wasn't exactly playing with Randall, but I didn't wear my jacket.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, it was funny. That's a funny one because my boyfriend's brother is a gaffer, and they were doing that video, and the director kept saying, God, I wish we could get someone that looks like PJ Souls because it'd be cool to have her on a skateboard. And Dave said, oh, well, my brother's girlfriend is PJ. I can ask her. So they called me up, and I went to the set the next day with my daughter. I said, I'll be in it, but I want you to have my daughter in it too. So she got to be in it too. I think she's like 13 at the time. So she was shy and you know, not really wanting to do it. But I said, no, you have to do it. I think she wore the jacket too. So that was a lot of fun, and that's kind of how that came about. So
that's cool. Is it true that you were considering helping out with doing a remake of Rock and Roll High School at a time?
Yes, well, you did do some deep research. My agent at the time, Alice Reese, and her husband, they were interested in starting, getting involved in producing movies, and I said, well, we should definitely, try to think about a remake for Rock and Roll High School. And so we had this whole script idea, and we wrote it up, and it was going to be fun. We had a deal in place, but then what the promise that we had gotten originally from Roger Corman, when push came to shove, he decided that, he wanted more, and they just weren't up to paying what it was that he wanted. But I don't know that it would have turned out great, and I certainly didn't like the sequel that Rock and Roll High School Forever. That was pretty bad. I did go up on that and met with, the director, and she just was not interested in anything I had to say, so I never heard from her again, but I think Mary Warnoff was the only original cast member that was in that.
Yeah, I remember she was in it. I don't really remember much about it, but I remember she was in it. That was like the
only people
thing.
Have erased it from their minds, I hope.
Yeah, I watched Rock and Roll High School recently. Yeah. It was just like old times, sitting around singing to it.
July 24th is when Linda Ramone is, every year she has the tribute to Johnny Ramone. Last year they didn't, but they did 10 years, but she didn't do it last year, but it's at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and it's to raise money for cancer research, and it's always a fun time, and every year she screens a movie on the Mausoleum Mall, and this July 24th, they're going to show Rock and Roll High School. She's got quite a bit of the original cast members there, and Roger Corman's going to be there, Al Arcus, the director, me, Vincent Patton, Dave Young, Eric Warnoff, Clint Howard even. So a lot of people, it's going to be a fun night. It usually starts around 5 o'clock, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, but they allow a lot of events in there, and there's quite a few significant-sized headstones, and you're actually allowed to spread a blanket, open up your picnic basket, and take out your wine and beer, and sit back and enjoy whoever you're sitting on and watch the movie on the Mausoleum Wall. So it's pretty spectacular.
That's amazing.
I think it's $20. So, and then it goes, it's a deductible because it goes to cancer research. So, and she always has fun things there. I think Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols is going to be there, John Doe, and Kirk Hammett's collection of some of his horror artifacts are going to be in one of the mausoleums too, so it'll be a fun event, and that's where the statue of Johnny Ramone is.
Oh, cool.
That's where he's buried, and Dee Dee's buried there too.
Oh.
Dee Dee doesn't have quite a significant statue like Johnny.
I can imagine. Oh. Dee Dee was always my favorite, I don't know why.
Dee Dee was really talented, was amazing, but I just read his book, Lobotomy, and what a mess. I mean, it was a terrifying life he led, and it's just sad because he was so talented, and just, he really was a poet. He just, couldn't get straight, and it just was sad.
Yeah, I got to meet him a couple times. I worked in a Barnes & Noble, and in New York, and he came in one day, and he was with his wife, and he was so confused.
That's a big story. I can see why he would be.
Yeah. He was very confused on, you know, what he can... And she's like, oh, you can't handle that reading. It was one of John Lennon Imagine. And he picks up to read it, and she's like, no, you can't handle that reading, Dee Dee. And I was just like, okay.
No.
I'm standing there like, oh my god, Dee Dee Ramone is standing in front of me. It was just...
Oh, well, he took out his autograph. He loved it.
I did. I asked him.
Oh, good.
It's total fangirl moment, but I couldn't help it.
You have to be.
Yeah.
See, when we made Rockwell High School, I didn't know about them, so it was, you know, I was a fangirl in the movie, but definitely not in real life, because in those days I was listening to Jackson Brown, Linda Ronstadt, the Eagles, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, that was on my playlist, and when Alan Arkush had given me the cassette of the Ramones, I really couldn't make it out. I was like, what? What is this? So, pure acting, being the number one fan of the Ramones, but definitely have grown to absolutely adore and love them, so.
Yeah, they were great. They were great. Let's see. School for my questions. I've gone.
Oh, okay.
I have a fun one.
Rude, so I know you're there.
Yeah. If you can choose your most hatred, arch enemy, or villain, who or what would it be, and how would you go about destroying them? That's a fun one. I ask everybody that. That's a scream sister.
I don't know. I don't like to think of myself as having enemies. I'm always the mediator. I'm the middle child. I have an older brother and a younger brother, so I was always the mediator, so that's kind of a tough one. And with my kids, too. My son is 5 years older than my daughter, and I always wanted them to get along, but...
It can even be like
my
mother's
enemy, and I wanted to destroy them. How would I do it?
Mm-hmm. It could be Michael Myers with them, you know. It could be.
Yeah, that'd be tough because he seems to always get up after he's been killed.
Yep.
So we can't pick him. Let's see. It would be nice to have a. One of the ISIS fighters is my enemy, because that would be the truth. But even that is kind of weird. Maybe I shouldn't go there. That's a tough one. I don't know if I can answer that. I think I have to take my get out of jail free card on that one.
They mostly said Dick Cheney. When I asked him.
And how did he get rid of him?
Oh, I forget. But
yeah, we probably don't want to be political.
Yeah. Well, he used to be a journalist, so, you know. That's,
I see.
So, he used that one. That was a good one.
That's good.
That was a good one. I don't know if I told you, I had a funny story for you, it would give you a kick out of it. I went to a burlesque show where they used John Carpenter. It was a John Carpenter burlesque show. And they did a Michael Myers routine to the song Hello by Adele. Can you imagine it? It's so, so funny. Like Michael Myers stripping to Hello.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I thought we'd get a kick out of it.
Well, you didn't have much to take off, just one zip.
Yeah, just the whole suit and the mask.
That's funny.
Oh, no, she did not take off the mask. It was a girl, but it's so funny.
Michelle Myers.
Yeah. But you couldn't really tell at first. But that's pretty much all the questions.
Well, no, not with that mask.
Yeah, no, you can't take off the mask, because you have to leave on the way you shot your mask. With the hair. Any fun stories that you can tell us about the filming of Halloween or Carrie?
Carrie, both films were just a lot of fun to me because obviously we're in our 20s, we were young, we were having a great time. You know, every day was fun. I couldn't wait to, you know, go to sleep at night and wake up and go through the next day. It was just pure joy, and you know, the energy and the excitement of building a character and hoping that, you know, you're going to light up the screen and that you're going to get another job out of it was basically, but just, you know, just every day on the set of Carrie, all of us had fun watching each other do their scenes, and Sissy was, met with us all on the first day and said, I really want to hang with you guys, but I want to have the real feeling of, you know, not being included, so I want to step away and not partake in social activities and speak with you at lunch and all that, because I just, you know, I want to isolate myself, and we understood that, but towards the second of the last week of shooting, she's like, I can't stand her anymore, you guys are all having so much fun, I gotta have fun with you. then she was great, we adored her, and Piper Laurie was great, and Betty Buckley, Nancy and Alan and I became very good friends, we're still very good friends today, and just, you know, John Travolta was always running around like a kid, and everybody just had a blast on that set, and you know, the most serious person was Brian De Palma, of course, so he's the director that had to tone everybody down, say, all right, we're making a movie here, it's not a party, but seemed like it, especially the prom scene, but and then Halloween was just always fun too, yeah, that was a very short shoot, 21 days at Lake Wake Memorial High School, both of those were 21 days, 3 weeks, very short, so very little time for fooling around, but you know, definitely fun when you were shooting your scenes, and just a good feeling of camaraderie, and there's no particular, like, oh, this was hilarious, it happened one day, blah, blah, blah stories, but, you know, just Jamie Lee Curtis was 19, it was her first movie, she was, for the first couple of days, thought for sure she was going to get fired, because she just thought, you know, she was doing a terrible job, but she was great as Maury, you know, so.
She was wonderful.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it was kind of a boring character, so she probably thought, gosh, and it wasn't her at all. She was not boring. She had to really rein in all that bubbly excitement because she was just a, you know, a fun-loving prankster, and here she was playing a very boring kind of a character that's babysitting, so she kept saying to me, you have the best part, I want your part. I go, it's okay. We'll play opposites because I was probably more like you in high school.
Oh, William Kett says hi, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
I saw him at a fashion a couple weeks ago.
I'm friends with him. He lives in my neighborhood, too. Our kids went to the same school together, in elementary school, so I see him quite a bit. And then, you know, we see each other at conventions. We try to have lunch or dinner because, you know, the last time we saw each other, we were like, oh, we've known each other for like 40 years. That's ridiculous. The 40th anniversary of Carrie coming up, which is insane.
Oh my god, really? Ugh. Wow.
Yes.
What did you think of the remake of Carrie? Did you see it?
I didn't see it, even though I love Julianne Moore and I love Chloe Moretz, but I just couldn't, after Rock and Roll High School Forever, and after the way they, you know, even Rob Zombie's Halloween, I liked the first one, I didn't like the second one, even though I only watched half of the second one, but it's just really, really hard to watch something that, especially that you've been in, that now people are recognizing as something, you know, that just set the bar and sort of started the genre of certain films, and, you know, to watch these reimaginings or remakes, it just never seems to me to be anything related to the original, so I still want to ruin it for me for Carrie. It was so stuck in my head as such a great movie, and it was my first film, so I just want to stick with that.
I can definitely understand that. I'm not a fan of reboots or remakes or whatever you want to call it.
I think they're doing the musical, Carrie the Musical, I think they're doing it in New York.
I heard that.
Or L.A., I forget. It's like, really?
That's ridiculous.
Plug it up. All those musicals, the music is always the same.
It's crazy.
They're all gonna laugh at you,
Yeah, like American
Maybe
I will
be doing it off Broadway.
Do you do any more singing or no?
I sang in Rockville High School. That was fun.
Yeah.
We got to record with Ed Stasium, actually, who had to play all the instruments because the Ramones couldn't change keys on their instruments. So he played the instruments on my particular track, which was hilarious. And get like 1 cent every couple of months from Warner Brothers Records. I'm like, why do you bother to send this to me? $1 or $1? Because you have to get, you know, royalties. I'm like, too bad I didn't write it, really, for Randall. But, no, they wrote it. And I sang in this movie called Foggy Bottom USA. I played a songwriter in the 1920s. And that's one of my favorite movies that people don't usually know about. But it's just a stellar cast with Ben Johnson, Don Johnson, Doug Taylor, Jack Elam. Just an amazing, Lois Nettleton, Annie Wedgeworth, just a great cast of people. We shot in Marshall, Texas, right before I did Stripes. And I play a 1920s songwriter. I write this song, and a real singer comes into town to have her dog running up coon hound race, and she buys my song for $20. I sang my song for $20. So I sang that, but yeah, no more singing. My daughter and her husband have a band called Joe Nash, because his name's John, and my daughter's Ashley, so Joe Nash is together, and they've had 2 albums out, 2 CDs out now. I'm very proud of her. I think she has a beautiful, you know, singer-songwriter voice and beautiful lyrics and, like, poetry, so, you know, even though she's really, you know, a yoga teacher, she's sort of dabbles at the musical talent area.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm on the questions.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure talking.
I hope the women in horror are excited by the podcast.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure we will be.
All right. Well, I have to say, it's been a totally fun pleasure. I can't say total because my word is totally, but